so cute.
Yay. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mark.
That was highly unsuccessful, wasn't it? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mark.
Thank you. This is good. We are so glad you're here this morning. And I want to encourage every one of us to be expectant this morning. I believe God wants to meet with us in a fresh way that's going to move us forward together. And I'm so glad that each of you has made it this morning. We've already prayed about the wildfire and asking God to watch over all of those who are responding and to cause it all to die down. And we're trusting that he's going to do that. But in this time together, we want to celebrate all the good things that God is doing. And so start with the wildfire. There's been no property damage that I'm aware of, no injuries that I'm aware of. Even some of the evacuations have already been ended and people have been able to move back again. So God is on the move. And I think that Fount and I were talking before we started that there's been a lot of praying going on in the last 24 hours that wasn't going on before that. And so I think this is good because it's giving people an awareness that God does care for them, whether it's in crisis or not in crisis. And I believe that this is a time for us as a church family to recognize that we want to catch the fire and not be caught by the fire. All right? So we're not in fear, but we do want what God has given us as a church family to spread and catch to other people. And so that's why we're glad to be meeting together. So I want to open up, before we turn to worship, we usually start with worship, but I want to open up for testimonies. Anybody got a testimony of something good that God has been doing in your life in the last few days, this last week? I know some of you are out there, so come on up and share. Starting with Renee.
I'm not sure I want to call this a testimony. I think I want to call this a where you confess to your, what's that scripture? You confess before your peers and stuff, your whatever. So I think this is more of a confessional versus a testimonial, but it turned into a testimonial. So yesterday, you know, we were at Crystal's event, and I always go with like this really high expectation, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be great. And it was great, not saying that it wasn't. But I felt this letdown when I opened a certain portion of the event. You know, Crystal does this whole thing. You get gifts and stuffs and words throughout or whatever. And it shouldn't have been a letdown, because what happened was right before we got to the part where we opened up our scrolls with our names and the word that she picked out from our name, I was like, I heard Holy Spirit tell me, reborn. Because Crystal's done my name before. You know, we all know that she's done all of our names most of the time. And my name is reborn or rebirth, Renee. And so, but she's done different segments of my name before. And it was like, oh, I didn't notice that, blah, 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 whatever. But Holy Spirit was like, reborn. And when I opened it, I was like, I've gotten this already. And so I was like, oh. But then, so we go through the event or whatever. But then I got, in our seed packet, my word was knowledge deepened. And then at the end, we pick out a gift and we're walking through and there's bags and there's journals or devotionals. And so by the time we get to the end, there's just devotionals left. So I'm like, that's fine with me. So I'm walking, that's a big, long stage full of these presents. And I'm like, da, 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 da. And at this point, I'm like, okay, what wrapping paper is speaking to me? And so I'm going, I'm touching and I'm feeling, and I went all the way down the row and came all the way back to this one that was wrapped in lemon print. Now, I don't care about lemons, but the paper, there was a nice texture. It was bright and yellow and sunshiny, and I was like, I'm going back to this one. So I picked it up, went and sat down. We opened our things, and then inside the gift was also another gold nugget. It was a little golden card, and it was another nugget. Well, it just so happened the word in that particular book was knowledge deepened. So twice in one day, I got the same word, knowledge deepened, after feeling this, like, my little moment of, like, sorry, Holly, I've been fussing at you, and I was doing it to myself. So that's why I was like, I'm going to get up here, and I'm going to give God the glory, and I'm going to praise him, and I'm going to not allow the enemy take away actually what God has been saying to me and speaking to me and what Holy Spirit presented to me first to prepare my heart. And I didn't want to receive it that way. So before you all and before my Father, I am thankful that I am reborn because my pen was a phoenix. So out of the ashes, I will arise.
Amen. Amen. And I love that you got knowledge deepened twice. I mean, I'm going to talk a bit later on about how wonderful last Sunday was. You know, I've been watching the video because we weren't here. But knowledge deepened. You lived it last Sunday when you spoke. Yeah? It's great. Cool. Who else?
I'll talk a little bit because same event. A little. This is based on that some. I was real involved in the organization, so I was part of the setup team, the cleanup team, all of that. So praise the Lord, it went really smoothly. We got it all done, and there was no major hiccups, and it was fast, and so all of that was good. But when you're involved in doing an event like that, you kind of get a little bit like, well, I'm just there, but I'm not really going to get them a lot, because I mean, I've seen all the gifts, I've seen everything, I've seen all the pins, everything, you know, and I was kind of not expecting a lot, because I was tired, and, you know, it had been a lot. And then, of course, God always sneaks up on you with it. So I opened my pen, which is this bird here, and my scroll, part of my name meaning that Crystal pulled out was free. And it just blew me away. I mean, I was just like, okay, you know, I started crying right away. And but what I felt like the Holy Spirit whispered to me was, because I've been in a journey of him just reminding me to put him first and to get rid of distractions, to let go of things that I've held on to. And it was like he said to me, I want you to walk, to run, not walk. You need to run, not walk, from away from everything that's a distraction and into your freedom. So that's my word, is run or fly, don't walk. Just go for it.
That's great, Nancy. Thank you. Wonderful. I see that look. Come on.
Good morning. How are you? So this is kind of like, it was weird yesterday. Actually, it was weird about a year ago. So we're going to go back, and then I'm going to speed it up real fast. So everybody knows I love music on the spiritual realm. I'm always tinkering with things in my studio at the house. And so about a year ago, I messing around with a certain artist, and I'll get to that artist in a minute. So yesterday morning, you know, all the barricades, it was out. If you look on the Facebook posts, people are ranting, like, I can't get to work, can't do it. Anyway, so I took it as a lesson learned for me. We're going to have obstacles in life, so you just got to be patient, and you're going to get to where you're going. Get to where you're going. So I was DJing yesterday, early yesterday morning, Farrell Parkway and South Kings Highway. That's right in the Market Commons, South End. So I'm playing all this music, Mendeza, good morning, wake up in a brand new day. So something said, record it, record it. I record it, send it to my wife, so she would know that I am at work and not gallivanting. So anyway, so So at the end, I'm playing all this Christian dance music, you know, getting all the runners up, and this whole big cluster of runners, like probably about 50 of them, comes by. There's a runner. He gives me a $20 bill, and I'm like, what is this for? He goes, take it, shut up, and keep playing good music. I'm like, okay, fine. So I'm like, that was kind of awkward. It was cool. So at the end, I only play an hour and a half because I have, like, the runners and then this street workers, city workers. So they come by and get the cones. Once the cones are picked up, I might as well pack up and leave. So all day long, this is crazy. I'm like moving real slow. I'm exhausted. I didn't want to tell my wife I was tired. So 6 months ago, I submitted a terrible mix to his radio. It's kind of like 2-in-1 testimony. Terrible mix. Now me, I'm like, oh, this is good. My wife, she'll tell you. She's like, that's not you. So I really feel like God says, we're not going to put that product out there. We're going to wait. So last night, I was with his radio last night. Don't tell my other radio station that I kind of jumped ship. So I'm sitting there with everybody. You're going to love the ending. So it was Jordan Felice and Riley Clemens was at this concert last night. Now, me, I'm just sitting up there doing volunteer work for his radio because you got to give back. So the lady says, do you guys want to go take a break now? So I wanted to go, but my feet was like in cement. So the lady and her husband say, no, we'll go last. So Riley Clemens was finishing up her set. So the lady goes, no, we'll wait. Said, okay. So 20 minutes later, the lady said, you guys go to lunch, take a break, whatever. I said, okay. So we go in there, I'm sitting down. The regional marketing manager for his radio, I'm listening. I'm like, I'm nosy. So he's like, yeah, we're thinking about trying to find a part-timer for the Myrtle Beach market, and we're trying to do something different. So the guy goes, hey, this guy right here, that's who you need. And I'm like, and everybody's looking at me, and I'm like, what's the problem? He goes, he might be ready to hire you right now. So I'm like, oh, we'll wait. So Riley Clemens walks in. I see Jordan Felice from a distance. Not a big deal. I'm not fan struck. I'm not like one of those type of people like, oh my gosh, there's no, I'm just me. So anyway, the guy says he also remixes dance music. So as Riley and her people walk and she stops, she goes, what? And the guy goes, the lady goes, yeah, he remixes dance music for his church and all that. And the guy goes, are you good? And I'm like, if I'm not going to do it, if I don't put 100% in it, I'm not going to do it. And I'm sorry, this testimony's got me like ready to do a backflip because I'm excited. So she goes, we're going to talk to you. Get his info. So I give him my business card. So at the end of this story, as I'm sitting there eating, the guy goes, do you realize what just happened? And I was like, not really. I'll probably take it in later. She goes, no, I remember your mix. He goes, you don't know me, but I remember you sent a mix to us, and I literally said, this is okay, but I think better is on the way. So when he sat there and said that, I said, God stop that, and he fast-forwarded me now to what's about to happen. So I will hopefully keep praying, be getting to where I want to be through God and Christ, because if it was up to me, it would have never gotten done. So I had to put God first, so. I was so happy last night, but I had to, like, you know, just, like, be Mr. Joe Cool. But when I got to my car at 63 years old, I tried to do a backflip.
Yay. That's God's heart for every one of us. Yeah? We like to say there's always more, right? And God wants every one of us to be stepping into the fullness of who he's designed you to be. You all walk past it on your way in. This is a safe place to meet with God, become who you're designed to be, and give his love away to others. You got it the other way around. You were giving his love away in the morning, and then you were becoming more of who you're designed to be in the evening, but that's okay. Hey, sir, good to see you, man.
Hello, good morning, everybody. My name's Asa. I've been here a few times, a handful of times, over the past couple of years. So some of you may know me, some of you may not, but also my parents, Larry and Gina, have been here a few times. So I just got back a couple of days ago from a mission trip down in Florida. I spent a couple of months there. I went in the beginning of the year. It was really my first time doing something like that. It was definitely an experience, so I just wanted to glorify God for giving me that opportunity. I'll most likely be going back in just a couple weeks to continue on with that journey. But yeah, I've learned a lot, and I just wanted to encourage the body that, you know, the past couple of years, I was really looking for like my purpose and my calling in ministry and just within the body, and wasn't really figuring out what that was so clearly, not as clearly and as fast as I wanted to. But in the waiting, I was spending a lot of time in the secret place. So I just wanted to say also that there's nothing that can replace the secret place. There's no amount of ministry. There's no amount of outreach. There's no amount of fellowship. And these are all things that are important in our walks, and they are edifying in their own ways, but nothing can replace the secret place of just spending one-on-one time intimately with the Father and with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. For all that I've been doing in this mission trip, all that I've seen and encountered and experienced, you know, I know that the time that I spent in this secret place was crucial in having me be, there's a lot of different spiritual things that go on when you really step into the front lines like that, a lot of different just pushback and things. So having that consecration really helps, you know, keep you just edified and built up and protected. But on the mission trip, I got to see and experience and encounter just all sorts of miraculous things, just healings breaking out on the street. People being healed of all sorts of infirmities and sicknesses and pain and all sorts of things. See people just give their lives to the Lord, their lives to Christ, and get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So it's just been really an honor and a blessing and a privilege to be able to be on the front lines of something like that. And and one other encouragement for the body also that I've learned through this is that utilize your prayer language. It really helps keep you edified and built up. I mean, sometimes 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a day just pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues. You're always praying God's perfect will, and you're edifying, the Holy Spirit is edifying you. And it really helps you just die to self, die to flesh. And the Holy Spirit can really just come make his way in you. And it really does edify. I don't think you can ever pray too much in tongues. So, I just wanted to share that testimonial of what I've been up to. And, you know, yeah.
That's wonderful. Can we pray for you? Father, thank you for all that you've been doing in Asa's life. Thank you that we've been able to be a small part of that just by creating a space for him to meet with you and to testify to your goodness. And now as he's spoken out what you've been doing and encouraging us and in exhorting us, Father, we want to step into more of you just as he's been stepping into more of you. And now we agree with him that as he goes back, that you would continue to do more. So, Father, thank you for all that you've taught him. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love for him. Thank you for the way that you've given him a sense of his destiny, that he's stepped into it in a greater way. And now, Father, we also agree with him that there's more still to come, that you will do more in him and you'll do more in us. So thank you for your presence in him and in all of us. Let it continue to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. All right. Are we ready to worship, or is there one more testimony? We're ready to worship. Cool. Okay, team, lead us away. Let's stand and let's give God glory for all he's doing. Let the lion roar. Whew. Revelation. Revelation 5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is the one who can open the scroll. So to whatever degree any of us have felt like God's plan has been hindered or restricted or locked up, he's here this morning to unlock God's plan for you and for all of us. Whether it's the matters that concern us and the things that weigh on our hearts, or whether it's our finances or our health, he's the God of breakthrough. It says, weep no more. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. So we pray, Lord, to you who sit on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and might and glory forever and ever. As you open the scroll for every one of us and for all of us corporately, we celebrate that together. So we're going to do a couple of things prophetically as prophetic acts to symbolize our acceptance of him opening the scroll for us and in us. We're going to bring our offerings and return the Lord's tithe, and we're also going to come and receive the symbols of what Jesus has completed for us, the bread and the wine, so that we're going to say, you are the God of breakthrough, and that breakthrough has already been accomplished. You're breaking through in our finances, you're breaking through in our provision, you're breaking through in every area that we need, and your body and your blood are the symbols of that breakthrough. And so what we're going to do is we're going to stand together and make our financial declaration. And then as you come forward to return the tithe and to bring your offerings, then financial declaration, please. Then we're also going to come and receive the elements. And I'd like you to find one other person that God puts on your heart to go and agree with them for breakthrough. And so you're going to agree with one other person for breakthrough, and together you're going to receive those elements. This is the source of breakthrough, is what Jesus has done on the cross. And so we're going to use those elements as our agreement with what God has already done. So why don't we stand together and let's make our financial declaration together, and then we'll move into that. Let's stand and read this with me. Father, you have purposed to make all grace abound to us so that we always have all sufficiency in all things. I agree with your purposes and willingly submit to your invitation to align my finances with your plans. My financial giving will start with returning your tithe to the storehouse where you've placed me and where you feed me. In addition, I choose to be generous and give to meet the needs of others here, to sow bountifully, trusting that you will see to it that I reap bountifully. As I sow into the family you're building with money, time, and energy, I ask you to strengthen the wall of love around us and lead us as we gather others who are seeking the values you've entrusted to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So come on forward. If you've been giving online like Jane and I have, then there are slips here for you to put into the appropriate places so that you're participating as well. We'll return the Lord's tithe, bring our offerings, then come and receive the elements. Find someone that God has put on your heart and agree with them for more breakthrough. Go.
Oh,
someone to agree with, just raise a hand and someone will come and agree with you. Let's not leave anybody out as we're praying for breakthrough. Thank you, Father, that you are moving in our hearts and our minds all over this room. You're aligning us with you for the purpose of more breakthrough. And we say yes. We love to say yes to you, Father. So we're saying yes again right now, this morning, to more of you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, as we step into God's Word together, if you are below a certain age, there are exciting things for you to do. I think Jan's got some fun for the school age, and I'm not sure who's going with the little ones, but there's lots of wonderful things happening for small people, and there's wonderful things happening for adult people as well. You will need either tablet or phone or whatever, or a piece of paper or a journal, because all of you are going to need pen and paper or something this morning. So I'm going to pick on Alex, who happened to stand up and walk towards me, to pass out paper to anybody who needs it. Please wave if you need paper. Grab a pen from one of the pen pots around the room, because we're all going to need that today. So we will just give a moment for that, and then we'll gather in. I'm going to pray before we step into God's Word together. All right, you ready? Feel like saying fasten your seatbelts, because I feel like God's up to stuff this morning, and this is good, right? Yeah. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you're already moving powerfully in this room. And we just quieten our hearts right now and zero in on you and say, have your way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Just place your hand on your heart for a moment and just say, God, I need more of you in here. so that I can represent you more fully out there. God, I need more of you in here that I can represent you more fully out there. And so I'm trusting you to speak to my heart this morning. Lead me on, in Jesus' name. Wow. I already said this earlier. Thank you, Alex. Well done. But wasn't Renee's message last week powerful? Yeah? Your praise is a weapon. And I loved that phrase. I can't remember if it was in the middle or towards the end, but you said the winds of change are already blowing. And that's what I was sensing as well. So when I heard that on the recording, because those of you who don't know, Jane and I were out in Greenville last week. I'll tell you more about that in just a second. But when I heard that on the recording, I had this immediate yes in my spirit. The winds of change are already blowing. And I believe God is blowing more and more life into us individually, but also into us corporately and into this region. And so I'm excited about what God is doing. And he's doing it across the Catch the Fire family as well. Jane and I were in Greenville last week because we lead the Catch the Fire cluster for all the Catch the Fire churches on the East Coast. We've got, I think, 8 churches now and 1 ministry in that cluster. And what it was this new church in Greenville. Well, it's not a new church, but a new part of the Catch the Fire family is now Catch the Fire Greenville. And we were demonstrating the unity and celebrating the unity of this movement, which is just like a family. And there were leadership couples from 5 of our churches all present for the weekend in Greenville to support this church. Now, the story of that church is that they've just in the last year, 9 months to a year, come out of a whole season of spiritual abuse, sadly, where there was one man running the whole show and he was setting one off against another to kind of cover up and disguise his control and manipulation so that it would all be about him and about what he wanted. And that was cutting God out of the picture altogether. But they understood that this was what was going on. And as soon as they understood that, they brought it to an end. The elders fired that pastor and they brought in a couple who were already on the leadership team to lead them into healing and into a fresh new start. And so what I wanted to point out from that weekend and what we've learned from our brothers and sisters in Greenville is that, first off, they have really embraced honesty. And the elders who remain and the pastors who've been raised up to be the senior leaders now, they're owning their complicity in what took place because they didn't see it. But because they didn't see it, they're in some way kind of guilty of allowing it to happen. And they've owned that and they've been real with people. And what they did to bring healing is that they asked anybody who'd been hurt by the old way to come and tell them their story. And they've listened and they've heard. And then they've asked forgiveness and they've repented. And they're wanting to allow room for God to move in healing and breakthrough. And it's happening. And there's some amazing spirit of love in that church because of that's what they've chosen. And they're prioritizing teamwork that's rooted in each person's uniqueness and each person's calling. Now, guess what? That's the hallmark of the Catch the Fire family. That's what our hallmark is here. You walk past it on your way in. This is a place to become who you were designed to be, not to become like everybody else, to find your place in the big picture. And the other thing that they've really prioritized is to avoid any sense of performance. This is a hallmark of the spiritual abuse that they've come out of, was that everything they did was to do with performance. It all looks great on the outside, so you can't see the rot on the inside. We don't want any part in performance where I'm pretending something's good when it's not. And we had a commissioning for Michael and Amber, who are the new senior pastors there, and it was a very powerful time, not just for them, but for the elders as well, commissioning them into a freshness of life. And one of the things that I asked God to show me, obviously, because we were asked to participate in that as the leaders for this area, and the thing God showed me was a rope. and this was for Greenville, but I think it's for us as well, what they'd come out of was this rope was just one rope pulled tight to try and keep everything looking good. We don't want any part of that, because that rope became a tripwire. But now that that rope has been disconnected, as it were, what God was doing was making knots in the rope, and he was turning a rope into a net. And that net of interconnectedness is what you use for a big catch of fish. And so what God is doing with each of us is he's emphasizing our connection, our connectivity. Because the thing that struck me about the folks in Greenville is the more we talk to them, the more we all have all these connections in common. There were folks there on their staff who were part of the fellowship that Jane and I used to be part of back in the day. And they came out of that because God led them into this church. And we came out of that because God led us to start this church. And all of these connections in who we know and where we've been and what we've done. And as I look around the room, I see the same. There's all these different connections where God is making knots in the net. And there's something very powerful about connectivity in that way. God wants there to be a net, and that net is to be a net of God's presence. So I came home from Greenville, and I said this in the email I sent to some of you, I really sense that it is time for us as a church family not just to welcome God's presence, but to dwell in God's presence, to make more room for God's presence. Because that is how we avoid any sort of spiritual abuse. That's how we avoid just doing a performance of church on a Sunday. We want to value God's presence. And God's presence is on multiple levels. God's presence is in you. Yes, Mark? Right? Yeah? Nudge the person next to you who wasn't listening. God's presence is in you. But also God's presence is in all of us as we gather. We've seen it this morning, haven't we, where God has been on the move in the testimonies, in the worship, and now again as we look into the Word together. And so we want to make room for God's presence. I love what we were able to enjoy on Friday night. Ira, well done for leading all of us into that place. We're calling it the Tent of David, where we can simply give time to worship and intercession and ministry. And I felt so privileged to be part of that on Friday. Wonderful. And there's another one coming up this month. And I encourage you to be part of that if you possibly can, because only God can do what only God can do. And we put ourselves in the place where God can do what only God can do when we gather in this kind of way to say, Father, we're honoring your presence. We give ourselves to worship. We make room for prayer ministry. We are welcoming the prophetic. We're drawing others in. But only God can do that. Well, actually, there's two ways to get more people in your church. There's two ways. You can recruit or you can be called. Man recruits, but God calls. And it's very important that we learn to distinguish between the two. Man recruits, but God calls. And for those of us who call this home, we know God has called us. We know that God has drawn us in to this church family. But I'll tell you this, the winds of change are blowing, and there's more that God is calling. Like I said about the fire, there's been a lot of prayer in the last 24 hours, and God is speaking to people, and God is calling. Now, sometimes God's calling will come through you and me. You may find somebody or know somebody or meet somebody who says, I'm really looking for a place to meet with God. Well, hey, I know one. Come and try it, okay? But that's not recruiting, okay? We're not going door to door saying, will you come and join our church? Because if you just join our church, that's not going to help anybody. But if you're looking for God's presence in your life and in a corporate gathering, this could well be it. And that's the difference. John Arnott was with us in Greenville last weekend. John and Carol, who are the grandparents of our movement, the ones who gave birth to all of it by welcoming Holy Spirit back in 1994 in Toronto and preparing the way for that that whole move of God to begin. And John, I love this. I was basically sitting where Linda is when John stood where I'm standing, and he quoted Oral Roberts, and he said, "You're not thinking big enough." And I felt it land in my heart when John, he wasn't directing it at me, he was directing it all of us. There were 250 or so people there at that point. This was Sunday morning. But he just said, "You're not thinking big enough." And I believe it's time for us to be thinking bigger about God's presence in our church family and in this place and in this region. And as we come back from Greenville with a fresh focus on welcoming and making room for God's presence, we heard from one of our beautiful intercessors, Evelyn. Some of you remember Evelyn, who was with us a few years ago. She's Canadian, but she prays for us every day. Beautiful that Evelyn has such a heart for Catch the Fire Myrtle Beach. She's really part of the family, even though we never see her. And she lived with Jane and I for 6 months, was it? Yeah. In what we had then, which we called the village, which thankfully the Lord has taken us out of that season, but it was great while it was there. This is what Evelyn said to us. We recorded it and then transcribed it. She said, "This is what I believe the Lord is saying. I have a new model that I want to birth in your midst." This is the Lord speaking to Evelyn for us. "It will be a plan to bring me the glory. I am a God of miracles, and I'm about to unfold a plan that man cannot comprehend until I birth it. When you gather, let people know that this is about to be a new birthing of a plan to let people know of and how to spread my glory in the earth. Out of that, you will find direction, but don't even try to guess what I've planned for you to multiply my kingdom, but I want you to form a hub of my presence." And she added, "I gather that's in your gathering place at Catch the Fire Myrtle Beach. A hub of my presence and my plans. Make my honor and glory the center of the new birthing. No official leaders, you and Jane are the apostle and prophet, but no official leaders, and I gather it's all this new movement. Out of this, you will be free to send people out with blessings and directions as I lead. Don't try to figure it out. You will have to trust what I'm saying to you. Don't rush ahead until I unveil my plans and my purposes for the reset of the church I want. It won't be as you have known or can imagine. It will be better. Don't rush the process. You already have the hunger for what's next. You're not afraid to be different or to stand for what you believe. I'm sending a new legion of courage angels to occupy in your midst. And it's a legion. Some in your midst will be frustrated because they can't figure it out. It is crucial for you to know my voice and not be led by the noise and clatter in the world. Practice learning and teaching on hearing my voice with one another." So I took that as a great confirmation of the way God is moving. Yeah. First, I hear Renee on the video from last week. The winds of change are already blowing, and I agree. Yeah. And then we come back from Greenville with this sense of we're to make more room and more priority on God's presence in our gatherings. And then Evelyn speaks about a hub of God's presence. We've known from the beginning that Catch the Fire Myrtle Beach is to be a hub. This building is to be the home of our hub. It's not to be the limit of our hub, because if you look at it, this room only takes maybe twice as many people as we've got. We're going to be bigger than that, but this is going to be our hub. One day this will be the place where just our leaders' gatherings happen, because we've got that many leaders. But for now, this is where we meet on Sundays as well. But do you remember what John Arnott quoted Oral Roberts saying? "You're not thinking big enough." So I wanted to ask us to allow ourselves to hear God's voice in ways that maybe we haven't heard before, because God says we're not yet thinking big enough. But he wants us to be a hub of his presence. So let me recap for you how we hear God's voice, because for some of us that may be a new concept. there are four basic principles that the Catch the Fire movement had in its foundation that come from Dr. Mark Verkler up in, well, he was in New York, he's now in Florida. But Mark Verkler discovered these four keys to hearing God's voice 30, 40 years ago. The first is to quieten myself down. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. Especially when there's a wildfire going on and the country's going through all kinds of change and turmoil and everybody's got their opinion and all of that. Quieten myself down. To push all of that to the side so that God can bring his voice into my heart. And then the second part that, again, we can often find difficult is to focus on Father. Because that's what Jesus said he did. He said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. But to focus on Father can sometimes be a challenge for us, can't it? And then the third thing is to tune into that spontaneous bubbling up of something I wasn't already thinking. Here's where my thoughts have to step aside to make room for God's thoughts. This is where I turn from feeding off of the tree of the knowledge of what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong. That's what got us in trouble in the first place. And come over to the opposite side of the garden and feed from the tree of life. And when Jesus said that out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water, it bubbles up inside of you. Something that you weren't thinking, but it's God's word to you. But you've got to catch it. Because otherwise you miss it. So I catch that spontaneous flow, tuning into something that I'm not used to listening to in my everyday life. And God wants to change my everyday life so I can hear that. And then the final thing that's very important is to write it down. Because I don't know about you, but whenever I start to feel like I might be hearing something from God, my first reaction is, am I being deceived? Is this wrong? Am I making this up? Was it in last night's pizza? All that kind of stuff. And actually, it's not if you choose to write it down, because when you write it down, then you can check it later. It's got to match up with this. Oops, there goes the prophetic word. Pick it back up again. It's got to match up with what God's already said, but until I've written it down, I can't check it. I'm always kind of interrupting what God's trying to say. It'd be a little bit like you all sitting there saying, hey, wait a minute, Mark, what about this? Or are you sure you're right? If you keep interrupting, you can't hear what I'm saying to you. And in the same way, if I keep interrupting God with my own doubts and questions, then I can't receive what he's saying. So that's how we hear God's voice. And that's why I told you, you all need a piece of paper and a pencil, because you're all going to hear God's voice for you and for us together before we leave this morning. So I want you to pause here. Because God is changing our defaults. That's that fresh winds of change that are already blowing. That's the promise of being a hub of his presence. God wants to change our defaults. I have defaults, you have defaults, and God is rewiring those defaults so that they're more in line with what he's designed us for. And so ask God this question. God, what's in my head? What's in my head? Where are my thoughts? What track do my thoughts run on? What do you want to change about the way I think and what I think on and what I focus on in my mind? What do you want to reconnect or rewire or refresh in my mind and in my thinking? What's in my head, Father? What do you want to add to my thinking? It may be that my thinking is based on performance. That I'm constantly pretending everything's better than it is or worse than it is. Or it may be that my thinking leads me to draw back from being connected with other people. When God's called me not to be independent, but to be interdependent. Or in some cases, my mind tells me to be hesitant to offer who I am and what I have, not to step out in trust. And that's really fear. I'm familiar with that, but I've learned to overcome it. Or sometimes my mind goes to judgment. It's very easy for me to see what's wrong in other people. And God wants to change that. Because although God sees what's wrong, he loves us beyond his knowledge of us through his grace. Sometimes my mind listens to the world around me. You know, those terrible apps on your phone, CNN, Fox, whatever it is that you watch or listen to. And none of what's coming out of any of those are really the Holy Spirit. Or sometimes my mind focuses on a fear of what God might do if I let him. There's all kinds of different things, but let's just wait for a moment. Some of you have been doing this already, and I'm glad you have, but let's just be quiet for a moment. Quiet myself down, focus on Father, and let him bubble up something in my heart that's to go into my mind. What's in my head, Father? What do you want to change? What do you want to add? How do you want to change my defaults? Write it down as he speaks to you. Feel free to carry on listening to him rather than to me if he's still speaking to you. Because it'll do you far more good to hear him than to hear me. Father, teach me your ways. As I hear your voice and as I meditate on your word, let my mind be renewed in your presence. And then there's another facet of how God wants the winds of change to blow in your life and in mine. Because it's one thing for my mind to be in line with God and his plans and his truth, but also my heart needs to be aligned. For me to understand and experience what I believe. Kind of how Renee was talking last week about praise. It started with Bible school when we're looking at scriptures, but suddenly God took it from the mind into the heart and she lit up with it because God made it strike 12 inches lower, right? And it's got to be both. I'm not saying the mind is wrong, but I'm saying the mind without the heart is inadequate. It's got to be my mind and my heart aligned together with what God wants me to live. A heart of sonship is crucial. And when I say sonship, I mean to be a child of God in the same way as Jesus, the Son of God, was a child. To live as a human in full relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that, of course, is another key plank of our foundation as the Catch the Fire family. What God did in Toronto in 94 and has continued to do through our movement is to give people a deeper practical revelation in our hearts of God is my Father and I am his child. And that's why we host the A School, the Father Heart School. There's another one coming on Memorial Weekend. If you haven't done one, I'd strongly encourage you to do that. But let's pause again and ask God, what's in
my heart, Father. What do you want there to be in my heart? Is there anything in my heart that limits my experience of what I believe? Have I really tasted your truth in an experiential way in my heart? You'll know if you have, because once your heart catches it, everything changes. I was talking with Michael and Amber in Greenville at the end of the weekend, and we agreed it's like they've always been a Catch the Fire church because something changed in their hearts over that weekend. Not just the senior pastors, but the whole church family. Something shifted where they knew, oh, we belong. Oh, he's our Father. Oh, Holy Spirit is living in me to make me connected with the rest of this body, the rest of this movement, the rest of this family. So everything changes when my heart catches it. So, Father, in our hearts, would you continue to change any defaults that don't match your plans and your purpose for us? Because I'm willing to be different so that I can be who you designed me to be. So, Father, what are you changing in my heart today? Let's be quiet again and just let him speak to our hearts as well as our minds. When he speaks, write it down so you can capture it. Heart changes when you just linger in his presence. At any moment of any day, again, I was reminded of this by John Arnott last weekend, but he just said, at any moment of any day, I can just open my hands and say, Holy Spirit, make Father real to me here, now, in a deeper way. And he loves to do that. That's what we were doing at Tent of David on Friday night. Just making room for Father to become more real and Holy Spirit to indwell each of us. And the love that we experience when we do that is the love that the Father, Son, and Spirit have always shared. It's beautiful to let them come and make themselves more real. I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle to trust that what is happening is really God. But what I've learned is that it's community that teaches me trust, because trust is relational. And so I believe God is doing things in each of our hearts right now because we're together. This is a safe place to meet with God and become who you're designed to be, so that you can give his love away to others. So we're experiencing the love of our Heavenly Father that's given to us by our brother Jesus, and confirmed in us, sealed in us by the Holy Spirit living in us. Let's pause one more time and let Holy Spirit put his seal on what our hearts are to capture and receive. Just wait and listen, and then write what he shows you. It's worth saying that he doesn't just speak in words like dictation to be written down. Sometimes he speaks in pictures. You can sort of take a heart snapshot of the picture he shows you. Or sometimes he speaks in action, where you feel his love in your heart, or you sense his embrace around you, or different sensations. Welcome that. Because he's drawing us into a deeper level of intimacy, a deeper level of appreciation for his presence. So, Father, I've asked you what's in my head, and what do you want to be in my head? And now, Father, I've asked you what's in my heart. And what do you want to be in my heart? And I welcome your initiative, your transformation, your confirmation, your affirmation in both those places. Where you speak to my mind and you speak to my heart. Thank you for your love. Thank you that I get to be part of the love that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have shared for all eternity. And thank you that that love is what's going to transform our world. And our third application, finally, is to see how is that love put into action. Because, you know, we can come here and receive more from God and enjoy God's presence together, but there is a purpose for that receiving. There's a purpose for our meeting. There's a purpose for our gathering and in getting interacting and intertwined in each other's lives. And the purpose is that that same love we can enjoy together and individually also be enjoyed by many, many others who are looking for that same experience of love. And so when we put that love into action, it's that we're called to give his love away to others. And when I say you are called to give his love away to others, I don't know, I don't need to have a show of hands, but many of us might say, well, how's that going to happen? Because I see my own weakness or insignificance or fear or all of those things that would hold me back from sharing his love with other people. And I was asking God, what does he want to say about that? And he said to me, what is in your hand? I'm like, wait, I've heard that before. There was this guy called Moses, if you remember, who was called by God to show God's power and love in the world, a world that was opposed to his people. And Moses had the same reaction that I often have, which is, I can't do that, God. I'm not strong enough. I'm not good enough. All of that. But God said, what's in your hand, Moses? It's Exodus 4, verse 2. If you want to put it in your notes, look it up. Moses is asking God, well, how will they believe me? How am I going to do what you've told me to do? I don't think I can. I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I... yada, yada, yada. Echoes that I hear in my own life too often. But God told him to take what was in his hand, which was a staff. I'm going to risk demonstrating with the staff I was given. Is this one mine? Maybe not. This one's mine. Yay. God said, "What's in your hand?" And he said, "A staff." And God said, "Put it down." And it became a snake. Mine didn't. That's okay. But and then he said, "Pick it up by the tail." Now, anybody who knows anything about snakes knows that the end you go for to pick it up if you have to is the head. So you can hold that little blighter so it doesn't bite you, right? No, pick it up by the tail. And it becomes a stick again. It's like, wait, this is not how it's supposed to work. But if we're going to show God's love to the world around us, we're going to have to do what God says. There's things you need to put down, and there's things you need to pick up. And your reaction is probably going to be the same as Moses. Well, if I put it down, what's going to happen? It's going to turn into a snake. Ah! And then there's things God wants you to pick up. You're like, I can't do that. It'll bite me. But God wants you to put some things down and pick some things up. Because God wanted to change Moses' mindset. Moses knew what Moses knew. But God knew something bigger. Moses knew he wasn't good enough. Moses knew he couldn't talk. Moses knew he wasn't up to it. But God knew better. And there's things to put down and things to put up, pick up. Now, if we read the story of Moses, we know that even though he was the greatest leader that Israel had had for generations, he didn't get all of it right. But it's going to work more for us because Holy Spirit will teach us and lead us. You know what Jesus promised in, I think it's John 14:26, he said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and he'll bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." So as we embrace the principle of putting things down and picking things up in order for love to be in action, Holy Spirit will help us. So our third question, God, what's in my hand? What's in my hand? Again, wait and listen for God to say to you, maybe something to put down, maybe something to pick up, maybe both. But God is changing our defaults because of our hunger for what's next, for our hunger for the winds of change that are blowing. So God, what's in my hand? And what do you want me to do with it? Is there something I need to put down? Is there something I need to pick up? I'm listening, Father. I'm listening. I'm listening for your wisdom, the tree of life. You're changing my defaults so I no longer feed from the tree of my knowing what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong. Write it down. Because the winds of change are blowing, and it's time for God's love to be seen. Again, community is a safeguard here. We can discuss what God's showing us. We can talk about it together. But God is in the business of changing our mindsets so that our lifestyle changes. We're going to be making adjustments in the weeks ahead just to the way we operate as a church family. Nothing major, but some adjustments to our family organization so that we can maximize the impact of leadership in our church family and make room for growth, because God wants this family to grow. He's got a purpose and a plan for Catch the Fire Myrtle Beach. And it involves putting some things down and picking other things up, and each of us becoming more of who we're designed to be. And Jane and I are committed to standing with each of you as you move forward into that. So we're going to adjust the way we lead so that we can do that better, because God's blowing winds of change in our hearts and in our lives as well. We're going to have one more moment of quiet, because I'm going to give each of you a card, or I'm going to actually ask Alex to pass these round. But I've put on here, it's a blank card, but starting today or tomorrow, I'd like you to write on here, my mindset challenge for lifestyle change. What is it out of what God has spoken to you this morning that you're going to focus on between now and Passover and Resurrection Sunday? It's about 40 days. Put the dates on there, March 3rd to April 12th. 40 is always a number of testing, because God wants to test what he's put into us to prove that it's good and prove that it's true. But I'd like you to write something on there that you can put this card somewhere where you'll see it. Maybe it can be the bookmark in your Bible. Maybe you stick it to your bathroom mirror. Maybe you put it on the dashboard in the car. Somewhere where you'll see it. Of what is God wanting to put his finger on in my life over these next 40 days, so that when we come to celebrate Passover with the Passover Seder and Resurrection Sunday, just a week later, that I will be able to say there is resurrection in my life because of what God challenged me about when Mark spoke about the winds of change that Renee pointed out to us last week. What is my mindset challenge? It might be something that's in my mind. It might be something that's in my heart. Or it might be something that's in my hand. Something to pick up or something to put down. But I want you to write it on there. And as I was praying this morning, I felt like God said, you might need to use both sides of this, especially if somebody's going to see what you've written on the front of the card. That can be the public thing that I'm changing, but there might be a private thing I'm changing too. Write that on the back so you know it's there and you can turn it over and remind yourself, but others are not going to see it. Just a thought. There might be two things God wants to change, but what we're committing our hearts to is to lean into Father God's presence, lean into Father God's love, lean into this community and our interaction with one another and with Holy Spirit, so that we can expect Holy Spirit to do new things as the wind blows. It's time for change. It's time to be a hub of his presence. It's time for us to think bigger. Because he's God and you're not. Hallelujah. You may have written on your card, you may not be sure exactly what to write yet, but I'd like us to close by just standing together and holding those cards, and I want to pray that God's put his seal on what he's doing in each of our hearts, and we'll be dismissed. So, Father, I am allowing you to blow through my life with new life and new power, new boldness, and a greater manifestation of your presence. And as I ask for that for myself, I also agree with my brothers and sisters in this room that in this church family, your presence will be increasing day by day, week by week, as we take this challenge together. that our lifestyles will change to be more aligned with the kingdom values that you've put in us. That you will do great things in each of our lives and in our life as a church family. And we're trusting you to bring others in. As we obey you, you're opening the doors and calling in those that you are joining to us. Father, we don't want to recruit, but we do want more to be called to this lifestyle that you've chosen for us and that we have embraced. So do it, Father. We can't, but you can and you will. And we look forward to all that you're going to do as your presence increases in us and among us. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may want to agree with somebody before you go. You may want someone to pray with you before you go. If you do, just come on down to the front. Someone will be glad to pray with you. And then remember that it's Sister's Closet this week. So right after the meeting, we're going to have a moving things around party. And you can probably smell the Jane bread in the distance. That's your reward for staying to help. You have Jane bread. Yes, and we would love to just gather briefly to meet and pray that not only the giving away of clothes, but the Spirit Cafe will be a time where God touches many lives.
Just want to remind people that Passover is coming up. So that's April 12th. We're going to have registration on the website, and we'll get something together about getting with me to see what you're going to bring. We'll have more about that later. So just have that on your minds.
Thank you, Ira. Good. God bless you. Stick around for a few more minutes. Bless one another. And then we're going to have a Sister's Closet party.